Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's been a while, I know, since we've covered some creepy state park stories from our friends in the park rangers. Today, we have been blessed once again with viewers just like you sending in their allegedly true stories while out there being a park ranger. Now, it's up to you whether or not you believe these stories. I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. Joining me today is my good friend Slumber Reads. If you haven't heard of Slumber, definitely check out his channel if you enjoy his voice. You can find the link to do so in the top of the description. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy stories from park rangers. And if you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to do so by sending in your experience at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Sharing stories from viewers like you is what keeps this show going. Now, be sure to hit that like button, sit back, and relax, and get ready to be scared. I consider myself a pretty even-keel guy. I don't really get thrown out of whack or find myself shooting off the handle, even under the worst of circumstances. I'm alone now, as several years ago I lost my child and wife in a car accident where a drunk driver swerved into oncoming traffic and hit us dead on. Even during that time, I kept a very level head. I was the only survivor of that crash. Even the driver of the other vehicle died. I will admit I was broken for a time, but I eventually got back to work. In time, that work saved me, in my opinion. I'd grieved and suffered long enough, and while I always heard over what happened, I did eventually learn to move forward, as best as anyone can in that situation. That isn't what this story is about, though, but it is necessary to the story. You see, I've been working as a park ranger all my adult life. I'm in my late 50s now, and even during the current events and uncertain times, I still find myself handling things fairly well. This all aside, my story takes place about 10 years ago, here in the great state of Texas. Around my area, there are some local legends about a witch who lurks in the wood at night. I've of course never put much stock in legends, but it is always fun to spook out the locals with stories of such things or, on rare occasion, someone vacationing in the area. Well, we began having vandalism issues in the park, and while this happens to all parks to some degree, the things being done here were rather peculiar. When we first found a pentagram in the woods, that wasn't so strange to us at first. We would have assumed it was some edgy teenager, but the pentagram was made from dead animal carcasses. Strange and possibly still edgy teens, but it was enough to warrant looking into. We went a few weeks with smaller things happening, such as carved messages of hatred on trees or trash dumped here or there, but nothing quite as extreme as my earlier example. Then, one Friday morning we came upon the strangest thing of all. Claws. Yes, claws. Thousands of them making a flower on the door of our main station. It was hung there like one might hang a cross. Now, the claws were from animals of all kinds, but the majority were from dogs and cats and even bears in some cases. They had been tied together with fur, and the entire design was really strange and clearly took a lot of time and dedication to create. We called the police immediately, but there was no real way to tell who was doing these things. Whoever did it was very careful and left no human DNA behind. We were a bit weirded out, but we still didn't close the park. Technically, unless camping, the park is closed at night anyway, and we were told by the police that they would keep someone in the area on patrol for the foreseeable future in order to avoid any potential harm to people and to hopefully catch our strange vandal in the act. 2 nights go by, and I'm awoken to a call Monday morning from the local police asking if we'd seen an officer they had on patrol that night. I of course said I'd check when I got into work, but I hadn't been in yet. I then asked the obvious question, if they had checked with everyone down at the station. They of course said they had, and no one had seen anything but an empty car. They informed me they were conducting a search, and they would appreciate any help in finding their officer. I grabbed some coffee and I headed out to assist the search. We spent much of my shift combing everywhere we could possibly get to, and we found nothing. The police asked us to close down the park for the night, and they'd have a few volunteers help continue the search overnight as well as patrol the area. I smiled and said we'd be happy to assist as well, so I spent much of the night looking for the officer. I asked one of the night patrols if they knew when the officer last checked in, as I found it a bit strange they wouldn't have sent someone so immediately. They explained they had last heard from them roughly at 4 a.m. Monday morning, and when they checked again at 5 there was no response, then again at 6. They sent officers to check everything out, and that was when they realized their officer was nowhere to be found. The car was still on the premises, however, and they appear to not have been in it since their last check-in. I remember how cold it was that night. This was strange as it was late May, and we were forecast to have nothing but 100-degree weather the rest of the summer, basically. Still, the deeper we searched, the colder it felt. At one point, I heard a low murmuring. I panned the woods very thoroughly and found a raccoon. I laughed at myself at first, but that was when we heard loud screaming from behind us. I turned and rushed into the direction of the screams, and as I got closer, I saw no one. I could clearly still hear the screaming, though. I had the officer I was patrolling with, we were patrolling in teams, follow me closely as we searched. It wasn't long before we found someone. It was the missing officer. They were covered in blood, and on the tree above was a bunch of symbols. None of them were anything I could describe or even understand. The officer, as it turns out, hadn't been harmed. Physically, that is. The blood was from a deer. They had apparently been stripped naked and washed in the same blood used to put the symbols on the trees. This was beyond strange, and we didn't have a clue what to make of these things. The officer was of course taken aback, and we took him to the situation. He seemed to be in shock and had no idea what was happening, so I'm not really sure. I was told not to speak about it at the time, and I never saw anything turn up in the papers about this strange incident. I wish I had more answers as to what happened to the officer. But I didn't work for the police, and they never shared what came of the officer. I know I never saw them patrolling our park again, but outside of that, I couldn't tell you if they still worked for the force or anything like that. The strange things happening didn't stop there. A month later, we found 5 cats hanging from trees and a note that simply said, "Blessing." Shortly after this, everything stopped. There were no more dead animals or strange messages. The remainder of summer went by with nothing happening at all. By fall, though, that would change. I was working my shift one morning when an older woman came to me asking if I'd seen her granddaughter. I got a description and explained she would need to take the matter to the local authorities, but we would keep an eye out and put up missing persons posters. The lady seemed distraught, as anyone would be, but she left rather quickly. I wasn't sure if she went to the cops, as she never said a word or gave any reaction. 2 nights later, one of my newer workers, who was working a voluntary night shift we'd started for those who wanted a little extra pay on the side, called me. She said there was a strange old woman calling out for Clara. She had approached the woman and asked if she needed help. The woman had all too eagerly asked her to come with her to search for her granddaughter. I was told that she told the older woman that she needed to stay at the station itself, but she would help her contact the police if she needed it. I asked if the woman was still there, but The G, as I'll call her, informed me that upon looking out the window, she was gone. She could still hear her, though. I told her to stay put. I'd come out, and if we needed to call the police, do so. So I drove up and knocked on the door. I got no answer and knocked harder. Still nothing. It was at this point I unlocked a station with my own key and went inside, locking it behind me to be safe. There was our radio and it appeared to be coming through with static and some sort of frequency I didn't understand. I called out for G, but I got no response. I was just about to call the police when I heard a loud knock on the door. I just about jumped out of my skin before composing myself and moving toward the door. I asked who was there, to which I heard crying. I opened the door and found G, naked and shaking. I asked her what happened to her, where her clothes went, and no matter what I asked, she just stood there, shaking. I brought her inside and got her a towel, as I didn't really have any clothes on hand. I asked her what had happened once again and she just looked at me, shaking and afraid, refusing to say a single word. When I persisted, she just cried more and shook her head. I called the police, and as I did, I heard another knocking. This was much louder, though. It was almost like a banging on the door, and the knob was being shaken violently. I told dispatch where we were and asked them to send someone immediately. They did, and then we waited. The knocking finally stopped, and as I looked around, I tried to put on a brave face for G. She just sat there silently, looking catatonic even. I waited for what felt like hours. As I continued to wait, I heard a familiar voice. It was my wife. I knew it couldn't be her, but I heard her voice as clear as you might be hearing me speaking to you right now. "Don't enter the door," she said. This was followed by a loud banging on the door once again. I jumped and listened as I heard someone saying they were a police officer. I started toward the door when I heard my wife's voice again in my head. "Don't answer the door." I paused for a moment, and the person on the other side of the door once again claimed to be the police officer. I called dispatch and asked if anyone had arrived yet. They said no. It was at this point I froze and explained someone kept banging on the door claiming to be the police. The dispatcher told me not to answer the door, and so I didn't. I stayed on the line with the dispatcher this time, who informed me someone was heading to the door right now and it was safe to open it. I heard a knocking and the words, "Open up! It's the police!" Having been reassured by the dispatcher, I hung up and answered the door. Sure enough, there was an officer. I explained what I knew of what happened to G, and they eventually took her in for questioning. I never saw her again after that. We tried calling her, but after a few days, her mother arrived and informed us she quit. I asked if they knew what happened to her, but they said she wouldn't talk about it. We closed the park for a couple of weeks after that to make sure things had toned down. They did, and after reopening it, we didn't have any other incidents like this again. We stopped having any form of night shift to be safe, and I still work here to this day. I wish I knew what happened to G, or even the officer that was missing for a short while. I never got any real answers, and I can only guess my wife is still up there looking after me. As I hadn't heard her voice, I would have been screwed. I would have answered that door. And whatever happened to the older woman looking for her granddaughter, I don't know. I never saw her again either. I have heard a few of the locals who do speak of seeing an older woman from time to time. We basically let it be known if you see a woman and she asks for help searching for her granddaughter, just to call the police. We've had a few calls from time to time, but by the time anyone arrives, the lady is usually long gone. There are rumors that the woman could be the Witch of the Forest, trying to lure others away, never to be seen again. I'm not sure that's the case. I will say, however, something strange was definitely up with the woman, and something stranger was going on in the park during that time.
My name is Gary, and I've got a story about my time with the park rangers in Northern California, and what I believe to be a cryptid of some kind. I'll get right to it. It was December of last year when I was wandering the park, and suddenly I hear a meowing. I thought, stray cat, it happens. And continued my rounds thinking nothing else of it. A bit later in the day, I hear it again. At this point, I'm getting ready to clock out, and I'm doing what we at my park refer to as final rounds. This is the same sort of checking for homeless, garbage, cleanup, morning detail stuff, but you do it before the end of your shift as well. At first, I ignored the sound yet again. Then, I heard it once more. I decided I'd check now, and make sure that the cat in question was okay. I figured, at worst, it gets spooked and leaves, and I'll know it's clearly still fine as it's moving. As I came upon the source area of the sound, though, I saw nothing. Figuring it was a stray cat that left at the sound of my footsteps, I proceeded to walk back toward the path I was working and scan for trash for a bit longer to kill the rest of my shift. It was about 10 minutes from quitting time when I heard a meowing again. I ignored it and it happened once more. I continued ignoring it and it happened again. I decided, what the hell, I'll give it one more check. So I climbed a short slope and looked for the sound. It was then I saw something that shocked me into freezing. Something standing on 2 feet and extremely muscular, covered in fur, stood in a clearing over the hill. It perked its ears and began to turn, at which point I skedaddled down the hill as quickly as possible. Upon doing so, I heard a massive roar. I about pissed myself as I got to the bottom of the slope and onto the trail and began sprinting. I heard another loud roar. It was loud enough that I felt the trees around the trail shake, and I had to clutch my ears to soften the sound. I ran and ran and ran some more, and as I looked up, I could see something huge moving through the trees as well. Its fur was all black, and it shook the trees above the trail. I tried to get a better view when it suddenly turned and vanished into the forest. I was perplexed by this, but thankful as it appeared to no longer be pursuing me. As I'm getting closer to the beginning of the trail, and where our station is, I suddenly hear the massive pounding of the ground, and see the trees shaking again. I'm about to run when this thing leaps from the slopes and lands in front of me. I fall in shock and terror, thinking it's the end of me. This thing has to stand at least 12 to 13 feet tall, and had all black fur. Its eyes were white, and it looked a bit like a wolf. It appeared to sniff the air and look around, but it quickly darted into the woods upon the sound of gunfire. One of my coworkers fired a warning shot off into the air, and this thing simply ran into the woods. I never saw the thing again. I'm not even sure what it was. It didn't appear to see me while it sniffled around. That is to say, I think it may have been blind. I might have thought Dogman, but everything I've heard of those, they can see. I'm not sure what it was, but it wasn't natural, and it certainly was not human.
I work for the New Jersey Park Ranger Service, and in all my time working there, well over 20 years now, I've always loved the ambience. Am I using the right word? I don't know. The local legends about the Jersey Devil always piqued my interest. I've always been a huge believer in the otherworldly. I should mention I'm a female and you can call me Abby. That's not my real name, obviously, but I wanted to put a name out there rather than a letter, like many use when sharing these sort of experiences. The scariest thing that has ever happened to me in my lifetime was back one October in 2007, when patrolling my park at night. I was volunteering to help out as Halloween was coming up and some of the campers wanted to throw a big celebration. In order to do this, they needed to prep, and so they needed volunteers who were willing to keep an eye on things for both safety reasons and to prevent vandalism. Vandalism happens. But, thankfully, we weren't having a ton of it in our area. Anyway, on this particular night, it was a Saturday. I was hanging with some of the event planners and watching over things when we heard a different and strange guttural screaming. It was so weird. I know that probably doesn't make sense, but it's the best way I can describe it, other than to say it definitely wasn't a human sound. This, of course, was strange. But things died down quickly after that, and those setting up dismissed it as either someone trying to pull a prank or at the very least, nothing to worry about. I waited around for a few more minutes before asking if everything was good with those who were setting up. They said they were fine, and so I told them I was going to make some rounds around the park and woods. The lady I was talking to jokingly told me to be safe. I left soon after that and went into the woods. I was very familiar with the woods at this point, and so I wasn't under any worries of getting lost. I kept Mace on me for protection, but I didn't expect to find anything too crazy, at least nothing I couldn't handle. I was more curious about the sound we'd heard earlier. In my mind, I thought maybe I'd find some strange animal or maybe I'd find the prankster. But I didn't truly expect to find much of anything. So, with that half-lackadaisical attitude, I happily waltzed into the woods alone. I know, this was stupid. I wasn't really gonna go for a long walk, you know? It wasn't going into the woods that was part of what I volunteered for. And I knew this place like the back of my hand at this point. It was the fact that I was so calm and carefree about it all. To be fair, though, I doubt anyone would have expected to experience what I did that night. So, there I was, happy as can be, enjoying my night and looking around with curiosity when I heard what sounded like screaming or screeching. It sounded like what we heard earlier. So, this time, me being much closer to the sound, I was slightly spooked by the sudden nature. But for the most part, I was still convinced it was an animal or some prankster. So instead of running out of the woods, I kept searching. In time, I found a raccoon digging around in some trash. Slightly annoyed by whoever left this deluge of debris, I had made a note of it that I was going to clean it up when I was coming back. Then I heard the noise again. This time, though, it sounded very close. I couldn't tell where it was coming from exactly. But that quickly changed as I felt something warm drop on me. Moving back and looking up, I saw half a deer hanging out of something's dark maw. I don't even know how to describe what I saw, but I can say, at that moment I screamed bloody murder and some choice expletives and hightailed it in the opposite direction. In my panic, and still fresh with the sight of that deer half-eaten in the mouth of this thing, I sprinted forward with no regard to direction. The only direction that mattered to me was getting the heck out of those woods. I heard a screeching and the thud of something dropping on the ground well behind me. I didn't hesitate to look back. I just kept running. I've never run so fast in my entire life. I was getting closer and closer to a clearing when it dawned on me. I needed to have some semblance of an idea of where I was headed. Rational thought managed to break through long enough for me to remember where I was headed. It's okay, I thought. I just can't stop, and if I'm heading in the direction I'm going, I'll eventually make it to the highway. I broke through a clearing and dove right into the water in front of me. I swam to the other end, and as I did, I felt a large whooshing above me, along with a gust of wind behind me. This propelled me somewhat toward the other end of the river. I was swimming through. Once I reached the other side, I got up and did my best to pick up speed again, though the waterlogged nature of my clothing did slow me down. I tried to keep my focus ahead of me, but was thrown to the ground when I felt something graze my back. It sliced into me and it hurt, but my immediate reaction was to throw myself to the ground and roll. I did this and was able to make it to the other side of the woods and out of the open. I looked back and kicked behind me, while crawling backward until I hit a tree. My heart was racing and I was terrified as some shadowy and massive thing stared at me. It had wings, giant red eyes, and its teeth were massive. It let out that shriek or scream once again. My blood just went cold. I was unable to stop myself from shaking at the sound. This was the thing I'd heard earlier? This? What even is this? All these thoughts were scrambled in my head as I tried to get to my feet and ran with what little power I had left. I heard this thing flying above the trees, and the times I looked up I could see its red eyes piercing into me. I tried to change direction, but it seemed to do so with me. I was being hunted, and I didn't even know what to do. I knew if I was in the woods, though, this thing had the trees between me and it. Still, that didn't save that poor deer. So, I didn't stay in one place for very long. Out of options, I just prayed and continued running. It was at this point that every second felt like an eternity before I realized I was no longer being pursued. Falling out of the woods and into a ditch, I writhed in pain. I looked at the night sky and thanked God for my safety. Well, that's what I did until I heard an all-too-familiar screech. That calling meant that this thing was still out there nearby. I tried to get up and crawl toward the road. When I reached the highway, I stood up limping in pain as I realized I had rolled my ankle. I pulled my cell phone out and tried calling 911. I explained my situation and where I was, and eventually a police car did find its way to me. I was so shaken, I couldn't really explain much at first. I did eventually make it to the hospital, where I was questioned after being examined. The officer saw the scratch in my back, and how busted up I was, and asked if I had any family who could take me home. I told them I'd call my boyfriend and get a ride home, and thanked the cop for showing up and getting me somewhere safe. I know he probably thought I was crazy based on what I explained, but I have never been so terrified in my entire life as I was that night. Don't know if that thing was the Jersey Devil or something else, but I can say with certainty that something terrifying lurks the woods at night around my area. I hope to never experience anything like that, ever again. My name is Jared, and I believe there is something living in a lake in Utah. For starters, I'm going to tell you now I've only been a park ranger for a short time, and I'm a fairly young adult male. At the park I work at, during summer, notably, people like to go out and cool down with a nice dip in the lake. This is fine and all, generally, and usually things are chill. That said, we have had quite a few occasions where people simply disappear, or things turn up dead in the water. Now, I'm not going to go into full conspiratorial mode and say there's a demon in the lake or anything. No, I believe it's a creature of some kind, but by no means am I saying it's supernatural. It's definitely not a gator or anything obvious, though. In my short time working at the lake, I've had people talking about their pets going missing, and I've even seen a pet or two vanish before my own eyes. Now, that's just it, though. They are swimming, or they fall in and they are there for one moment, and then the next they're gone. I'm not talking they sink, or there's blood in the water, or any of that. I'm talking straight up, dragged down, never to be seen again. We've conducted searches and looked for all manner of reason for such things, but never to any avail. It would be at least a little less conspicuous, even if something mortifying would happen, like blood would appear where an animal disappeared, but nothing. There's never any sign, or reason, or anything at all. I will admit, I believe something is down there, and that's because while patrolling the lake one day, I think I saw something. I'm not sure what it was, but its outline was huge, much bigger than any boat, and a disturbingly visible shadow. The strangest thing about it all, though, I looked down and saw two eyes on its head. When going to the rear of the boat, I also noticed two more eyes, and possibly maybe even another head. Though I can't be sure due to the outline being a shadow for the most part. I'm not going to regale you with some story about how I tried to fight it or it tried to eat me. That didn't happen. I still remember how unnerved I felt, though. I still remember the look on my supervisor's face when I reported what I had seen. It was the look many of you hearing this probably have. It was probably my mind playing tricks on me. I'm not asking you to believe me. I saw what I saw, but do exercise caution when swimming. Especially in Utah. We've lost plenty of animals and even a few people in that lake, and I'm positive I saw what I saw. I know this wasn't the longest, scariest, or most entertaining story in the world, but I appreciate you for hearing me out. Thank you. I would like to share a story about the park I work in. It's in Washington, and is fairly peaceful. That said, there are some strange things afoot here. I've been a park ranger for 27 years. In that time, I've had one thing that I find unsettling. You can call me Debbie, as that's what most people call me anyway. I wanted to share a story about strange sounds coming from the park I work at. These sounds happen during the day and at night. And I'm not the only person who has experienced them. There doesn't seem to be any real pattern to the sounds, and it sounds almost like a chanting, or even singing sometimes. The reason I find these sounds unsettling is because of what happens shortly after. Something always turns up dead. It's always been animals, although there has been an occasion or two where it was almost people, usually related to health issues, but every time these chants or singing start, something turns up dead eventually. The experience I'm going to discuss involves a Monday morning. I know, Mondays, am I right? And this was the first time I'd heard the chanting for myself. I'd heard stories previously, but I'd never experienced it for myself prior. I was doing my morning rounds when suddenly I heard this cold sort of singing. In some ways it was relaxing, but there was that hint of evil to it. I'm not saying the chanting is evil, but there's just that dread that comes in the air when you hear it. It's all at once, alluring and terrifying at the same time. Anyway, I start hearing this low sound. At first, it is like chanting, and as time goes on, it becomes more audible. I notice it sounds almost harmonic. I'm a bit perplexed and begin to look around. No one appears to be in sight, so I continue picking up trash and checking the area, not really thinking too hard on it. The next thing I know becomes very audible. It's like if you turned on music and were listening on it on your iPod or phone or something like that. So there I am, looking around suspiciously, as no one is about to get the drop on old Debbie, when suddenly, I see something sickening. I see a dog laying on the ground. I head over and realize quickly that this thing has been ripped open. The dog isn't alive, and this kill looks rather fresh. It also smelled fresh enough that I had to go elsewhere to relieve myself of the contents of my breakfast that morning. I called my supervisor and informed them what I had found. They asked if I needed anything or any help cleaning it up, and I told them yes, please, right now. It probably didn't take long for someone to get there, but it felt like forever, and I kept my distance during that time. One of the guys I was working with at the time, Kyle, showed up with his little disposal kit and walked right over and checked it out. It didn't faze him, and I began questioning if I really knew him at that moment. He asked if I saw what killed the dog, as it was all over the place. I told him no. I wasn't about to go looking either. Then he cleaned everything up and buried the poor thing. I couldn't even handle the sight of everything, and Kyle, somehow, was just acting like this was a regular Monday morning occurrence. After cleanup, he asked if I heard anything weird prior to it, and I explained to him that yes, there was this strange chanting or singing everyone always goes on about. I elaborated to him. I saw nothing kill the dog, though. Now, that's the only thing that I've ever experienced that keeps me up at night. Kyle and many other workers there have happened upon other deaths, and as I said before, there have been a few times this almost happened to people, but usually that could be chalked up to a heart attack or choking on food. So far, no human has died, though. Not really sure if it's supposed to be an omen or whatever is doing this, helping the park, but I don't know. I don't think I'll ever truly know. All that said, I do still work there, and the chanting and singing isn't as frequent nowadays. It was a bit unsettling to hear, or even hear of. Has anyone around the Washington area ever heard of anything similar? I'd be very curious to know. Thanks for listening to these creepy park ranger stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a park ranger experience or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Viewers submitting their experiences just like you are what keep these shows going. If you enjoyed my guest Slumber Reed's voice today, please do me a huge favor and give him a subscribe. You can find the link to his channel in the top of the description. He uploads long, scary story videos all the time, and I'm sure you'll enjoy his content. If you guys enjoyed these stories, it would really be awesome if you could hit that like button, as it really does help me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and make sure you turn on notifications so you don't miss when new videos come out. I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you don't already know, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and pretty much everywhere else you listen to podcasts on the internet. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp. We are so, so very close to 170,000 swamp-dwelling creatures. I never thought we'd make it this far when I first started this channel a couple years back. It's insane to see how many of you enjoy these stories just like I do. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.